Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So yesterday we talked about Mike Florio writing that the alt uniforms going back to the Super Bowl era uniforms, the championship uniforms, was essentially going to be the first step towards bringing the old name back. I suggested yesterday that a guy like Florio, first of all, you know, over the years, wasn't a Redskins fan, wasn't a fan of the name, very much part of that group that was trying to get the team to get rid of the name and bury it for good. You know, he couldn't stand Dan Snyder. Nobody could in media. You know, a lot of different things over the years that were just dead ass wrong. I mean, the whole idea that Washington was all in on Lamar Jackson in the summer or the offseason of 2023 was just so absurd. Dan wasn't going to lay out a nickel in the process of selling the team, let alone, you know, 100+ million with a lot of it in escrow before he sold the team. That was obvious to anybody that was following it. But, you know, I kind of feel like what we were getting from Florio was, you know, this attempt, and you'll get some of this, you know, the throwback uniforms, going back to the uniforms, even though all of us have kind of known that it was coming for a while, especially if you listen to this show, that, you know, it was going to conjure up memories of the Redskins. And, you know, I saw an editorial or, you know, an opinion piece in the Washington Times from somebody who heads an Indian reservation saying it's time to bring the name back. And you're going to get a lot of that. And you're going to get a lot of the people that think, oh, Trump can make this happen. I hope it happens. I hope anybody that can make it happen gets involved and makes it happen. I just don't think it will. In fact, I'd bet a lot of money that it won't. Not in my lifetime, or certainly not in, you know, any kind of foreseeable future. I don't think it's ever coming back. As I've said many times, the problem is not whether or not the team and teams and the team's limited partners and managing partner, Josh Harris, want the old name back. It's the league. It's the $26 billion worth of NFL partners and how they have felt for many, many, many years about the name. They didn't do anything about it until FedEx did something about it, and then everybody kind of jumped on board. But they had to deal with it. The league had to deal with it. The networks had to deal with it. And it was just an annoyance, you know? And many of those people believed that it was wrong, you know, and didn't care to kind of jump in to the actual debate and the substance and the facts about the name and who supported it and who didn't and what Native Americans thought, etc. They're just not going back to that. They're not going to risk these long-standing and very, very significant revenue-generating relationships. And, you know, the league doesn't want to have to deal with it. They had to deal with it all the time. And sure, it was, you know, up and down. Some years it was a very hot topic, and other years it would die down. 2016, that poll in the Post really silenced it for a while. If it were still here, there wouldn't be any threat of it going away. Not in 2025. But it's not here. And the, you know, pushback from $26 billion worth of league partners to it coming back is going to prevent it from ever coming back, even if current ownership would like to do it. Because trust me, they understand that the number one needle mover, and by the way, by extension, the number one revenue generator, revenue increaser, would be to go back to the old name and damn all the people on the outside that would, you know, have an issue with it. They just don't have that ability to do it. They're not, you know, able to make unilateral decisions. There are league bylaws. They're one of 32. All of that stuff has to be cleared through the league. All of the branding stuff does. A lot of attention off of the Florio column yesterday, and a lot of belief that, oh, maybe, you know, he knows something, or maybe this move to the old uniforms is something. No, I think personally it's just this is what we can do, and we want to do this, and we want to tie back into our past. But Florio was on with the Junkies this morning, and there were a couple of sound bites that I wanted you to hear. This first one, you can just play it because he's basically essentially trying to get out ahead of things where he sees them going. Here's where here's what he said.
What's the quote that Michael Scott used that was from Wayne Gretzky? No, that wasn't that quote. His quote, that was the you miss every shot you take or some crap like that. The other Gretzky quote is you don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where the puck's going to go.
All right.
And ever since Josh Harris bought the team, remember when he bought the team, he used the old name like three times the first day. Mm-hmm. And Magic Johnson tweeted it. And there was a flurry of reporting and questions posed to the team. Hey, are you setting up a return of the old name? No. Harumph, no. And then Dan Quinn shows up at that press conference last May with the non-licensed shirt that had the two feathers on it, and no. And when you look at what's going on and you broaden the lens, they're trying to get that stadium built, they're trying to get D.C. Council to move forward. There has been reporting, and I think Phil Mendelson, the D.C. Council chair, has said he's heard talk that they may run to the president and get the president to help break this logjam so they can get the thing open in time to try to host the Women's World Cup and the Rugby World Cup, yada, yada. And you got the president saying, I never would have changed the name. And then these uniforms land, which look exactly like the old uniforms. And almost every image I saw of the new uniform has the helmet positioned at an angle where you can't see the logo on the side. And it looks like you're looking at 1985 Washington football. And then that video, and I missed the video when it came out, but when I saw that video early yesterday morning as I was doom scrolling, I couldn't believe my eyes, because for a team that has completely shied away from any imagery that uses the old logo, they were all in. They were cannonball in the deep end of the pool. And I just think it's part of this dance of, you know, inching, maybe, oh, no, we have no plans. We're not considering it. Ooh, look at this. Hey, look at that. Oh, well, you know, hey, if if the president wants it and he's going to help us get this stadium built, well, you know, we got no, I just feel like it's something to watch. And I saw that someone was like, oh, I'm trying to muster up opposition. I don't care. Whatever they do, they do. I don't care about that. But I think it's a fascinating story to monitor because it feels like something's going on.
That's interesting what he just said there at the end. And this is the first time I heard it too, that he doesn't care what they do. He cared very deeply for a long period of time that name not be used anymore, that it was, you know, deeply, deeply offensive and racist, and they need to get rid of it. And he was a big advocate of them getting rid of it. So that's an interesting take at the end. I don't necessarily buy it, but the Michael Scott line is, you know, it was, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And he said, that's what Wayne Gretzky said. But anyway, I don't see Trump even being necessary to getting the city council to vote yes on RFK. I think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get that at some point next month. I certainly hope we get it next month. I hope it doesn't go into September. But I just think that this is more trying to conjure up, you know, something that a lot of the people that have thought for a while, they finally got rid of it. It's gone. Oh, the Commanders, you know, that now it's an organization that is legitimate, the whole thing. He's trying to rile some of those people up, even though he said he was not. You know, I don't know. Other than that, I don't have a lot of reaction to that particular soundbite. It's a nice angle to take, but they've been working on this uniform thing and the logo thing for a while. Like, the logo, by the way, has been in social media, and the league's gone back to not, you know, caring about the name or the logo. The logo's never been an issue, as we all know. We've lived this issue very intimately and closely. We know the logo's never been offensive. It's never been controversial. So the logo, I do think, is a possibility in the next year or two. How it comes back, in what form, I'm not sure. I would prefer it to be on the helmets, at the very least. And I'd prefer a move back to a Washington football team, knowing that Redskins can't happen, even though that would be the ultimate. There's one more soundbite we're going to play, right, Max? It's which one is this?
So this is him kind of saying it's Josh Harris is not Dan Snyder. He kind of argues that the name change was more about Snyder than anything. And he said it'd be foolish to think that the team isn't really monitoring the situation. So here's what Mike Florio said.
Right. But here's the problem, I think, when you look at it from a practical standpoint. And I wish they had never changed it. I wish it should have stayed the Redskins. I think it's ridiculous. But whatever. The market spoke. They changed it. They pulled the money. Even if the political winds changed and they got some sort, maybe the scenario you said played out and the president got involved and pressured him and that got him a stadium. If they change, you know, what's going to prevent them 3 or 4 years from now when the political winds change again and then a big, you know, a big advertiser steps up and says, yeah, we're pulling the money. It just makes them too vulnerable. I don't think they want to open themselves up to that.
Well, that's part of the question they're going to have to ask themselves and what they need to consider if they would ultimately do this is, if you go back to the old name, you just have to tell the world, we don't care what you think. And you can write about it all you want. You can do polls all you want. You can write opinion pieces all you want. You can protest all you want. This is the name of the team.
They do that until they pull the money, Mike. When they pull the money, based on political wins.
Unless the world's different.
Yeah, when they pull the money, then it all goes away.
But there's one very big difference.
Yeah.
Josh Harris is not Dan Snyder. And I think that the stew of factors that led to the decision in July of 2020 to change the name, that was as much, if not more, about Snyder and about the late Fred Smith trying to extricate himself from partnership with Snyder.
I agree.
Because it was the FedEx pressure that really got that ball rolling. And I think it was Ron Rivera as well who was pushing and pushing and pushing. But that's all part of this. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying there's enough of a flirtation with it that it would be foolish to think a multi-billion dollar organization isn't at some level monitoring the reaction and factoring it in to future decisions. And, you know, maybe they just bring back the logo and not the name. Maybe they bring back the logo for a certain period of time, and let's see how permanent the current political change in the winds will last. And maybe at some point the name does come back, or maybe it just comes back on the legacy weekend. I don't know. I just think that, well, I know. The idea that the door is slammed shut on the old name, which is kind of what I thought they were doing, that's done. Because when those uniforms landed this week, they did everything but bring back the old name and the old logo. So, and they kind of know what they're doing. They kind of have that, you know, that glint in the eye as they do it. They know, and the fans know.
God, I wish he were right about that last point, but I don't agree with him at all on that last point. I wish, though, so much, as he was saying it, I wish that it were true. But they have talked about bringing back, you know, and tying back to the past with, at the same time, being very adamant that the old name's not coming back. You know, he said something that, you know, this was more about Snyder than anything else. The actual loss of the name was about Dan. It was about the way Dan treated his minority shareholders, one specifically, Fred Smith, the founder and the chairman of Federal Express, not only a massive Washington partner, but a massive NFL partner. That's true. What isn't true is that the name for years upon years was protested because of Dan. That's not true. It was protested because of what the name is defined by in dictionaries and how that created, you know, a massive group of people who became offended or became, you know, conveniently in the business of being offended. That had nothing to do with Dan. The name was being protested long before Dan. But the actual loss of it, he's right. Dan's lack of, you know, human, you know, treatment of even his minority shareholders, decency, got to the point where everybody hated him. And when they stopped getting updates and they stopped getting dividends and they started to not trust him, they went after him. You know, Dwight Schar went after him by working with that Indian-based media internet company to create that incredible series of internet fabrications about him being tied to Epstein and drug trafficking and drug parties and sex parties and the whole thing. And Fred Smith went for the jugular. He went for the name. And Fred Smith couldn't have cared less about the name for the first 20 years of being an owner. In fact, he wanted to take a majority of the team at various points and wouldn't have changed the name on his own. But Dan brought it all on himself. The change, the pulling of the name in the summer of 2020, the root cause of that, you know, and when Fred Smith passed away, remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about this. He actually went for the jugular and buried it, but it was because of Dan's treatment of Fred Smith and Federal Express and his minority shareholders. But the name was not protested for all of those years because of a dislike for Dan, and they'll treat it better because Josh Harris owns the team. No. If the name comes back, all of those people will resurface, and maybe it'll be quieter during periods like now, and it'll be much louder during periods which are more progressively dominated. And yeah, the team can tell everybody to shut up and sit down like they did for many years, but they'd be more effective. Dan would have been more effective if he had been less antagonistic and been more proactive working with all of those Indian reservations, getting them on board in a major way, helping, you know, repair and fund and resuscitate some of those places that are so downtrodden with drugs and alcohol and so many other issues. Dan would have been much better off treating, you know, the people that could impact something like this much better, like Fred Smith. But he was not very strategic, ever. He was super impulsive. And then became a bit desperate as the fans started to leave and revenues, other than media revenues, started to drop. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting thing to follow. Right now, what we do know is we do know that ownership, maybe a little bit late, maybe not fully complete because we'd like the logo and some of you would like a feather hanging off the W or whatever, but they gave us something that we believe is going to be permanent that will at least not completely connect many back to the, there many that have been out back to the team, but at least when they use and wear those threads in three games this year and hopefully 17 the year after, it's going to feel like we're watching the old team. All right, when we come back, speaking of kind of teams and revenues, sports empires, not teams, but owners and groups who own multiple teams are now referred to as sports empires. Mike Ozanian from CNBC wrote about that and created a top 20 list, and two of those empires are run by two of our owners in town. You'll hear my conversation with him next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right now is Mike Ozanian. Mike is a sports business reporter for CNBC. We had Mike on the show multiple times during the sale process of our football team during that year and a half. And he was always incredibly helpful and interesting. And I read what Mike put together with CNBC this morning, ranking sports empires, the top 20 in the world for the year 2025. And I thought this was an interesting topic for a number of reasons. And Mike joins us right now. First of all, before we get to some of these individual, you know, empires, two of which, by the way, are run by two local sports owners here in DC. This is, right, not a list about the wealthiest of owners, but the richest portfolios of sports teams owned. Just explain what this list is, even beyond that, if I didn't get it right.
No, Kevin, you got it exactly right. What this list does, it takes those individuals or companies, and we analyze and value the sports portfolio of all their teams and sports-related businesses. To qualify for the list, though, you have to be a controlling owner of at least one sports team worth $1 billion or more. So, for example, TKO Holdings, which is the publicly traded vehicle for which WWE and UFC, the mixed martial arts enterprise, trade on the stock exchange, is not eligible for the list, even though it has a valuation above $15 billion. That's because there's no sports team involved. So the reason why we looked at this and have done this at CNBC is because over the last few years, there's been a trend of people owning more than one sports team, as well as a lot of different types of sports assets that they can utilize with their sports team holdings. Those sports team properties could be things like a regional sports network, such as the case with the Yankee Global Enterprises and the YES Network, or Ted Leonsis and his regional sports network. It could be something like Legends, which is the stadium hospitality and premium seating business that Jerry Jones owns a stake in and the New York Yankees own a stake in. And this trend is happening because when I talk to sports team owners and those involved with these empires, they say there's tremendous scale.
Right.
Meaning,
sure,
you can cross market and sell sponsorships to different teams. You know, we just saw, for example, the WNBA announce three new franchises over the next couple of years. Those are being taken in by teams that already own NBA teams and have operating rights to their arenas so they can maximize the revenue streams there. And when you look at sales, minority interest sales of sports empires over the last several months, you could see the very high valuations. So, for example, Stephen Ross sold a minority stake in a bundle of assets that included the Dolphins, Hard Rock Cafe, and the F1 race that he has down there every year. You also had a minority stake sale in Monumental Sports and Entertainment that went for a very high valuation. And just the other day, Rogers, which owned about 37% of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, the building, Toronto FC, which is the MLS team, They just bought out BCE, which owned about 37% of Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. So Rogers is going to have the ability to use their controlling ownership of that to put it on TV, to market, all of that stuff. And this is the way the sports world is really evolving right now.
Yeah, interesting. And you know, when you said about the cross-marketing opportunities for each of, you know, the Empire's portfolio companies or portfolio teams, actually, although they're not all teams, some of them are, you know, associated businesses, as you described. But I thought about, you know, the roll-up days. I'm sure you're very familiar with, you know, the rolling up of, you know, kind of fragmented businesses into one big company, where not only did you get those marketing economies of scale, but you got a lot of that, you know, HR and accounting and a lot of these, you know, functions that are necessary within a company all centralized to gain huge economies of scale. So I would imagine that that's a big part of it as well. You know, in sort of the gains, the positives that emerge from owning multiple, you know, sports properties because they're similar businesses.
Yeah, no, Kevin, you're exactly right. You know, and when you think about it, right, you look at the people that have been increasingly investing in sports teams and sports properties, especially now that private equity has been getting right. involved the last few years. These guys know all about what you're talking about. They've been doing that by investing in all their other businesses over the years. So, you know, I could triple the value of my sports portfolio by, you know, adding multiple teams, by adding investments in, you know, like the Kraft family. You know, they have an analytics business, which is immensely popular and big. You know, there's AEG, which has AXS, a huge sports ticketing business. They can get that economies of scale that you're talking about because I'm tripling the size of my portfolio,
right.
But I'm not tripling the size of my accounting department or human resources department or, you know, marketing department.
Right. Yeah. Do you think, you know, you talked about Stephen Ross. Do you think that in the future we will see sales of empires, you know, multiple holdings of, you know, Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment or Fenway versus just one-off purchases of teams or individual, you know, entities within the empire or within the portfolio?
I think that's possible, but I think what we're going to see first over the next several years is the folks who own these empires selling small pieces of them, you know, 5%, 10%, things like that. So, you know, for instance, let's take a look at Mark Walter, right? So, you know, he came in several years ago and with his group and bought the Dodgers, right? And then after that, he brought in a lot of minority investors buying small pieces.
Right.
You know, that also gives you capital. He built up the brand. He got a winning team. Then he brings in minority investors who want to be part of that winning brand and winning team, especially in a market like L.A. You know, now he's a minority investor in the L.A. Lakers, but he's got an agreement from Jeannie Buss to buy out her controlling stake in it. So he's going to be suddenly, you know, one of the bigger sports empires when this deal closes, because besides the Dodgers and the Lakers, he's an investor with Todd Boehly in Chelsea FC. He's an investor in Women's Ice Hockey League. You know, he's got an F1 investment. So, you know, he's building up this empire gradually, and then he can go to minority investors and say, hey, how would you like a piece of the tremendous
right.
scale and the economies
sure.
of, you know, that I've built up, and you don't got to go in and buy a piece here, a piece here, and a piece here. Just buy a piece of my holding company, and you're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. By the way, just on Mark Walter and the Lakers sale, how did that end up being a $10 billion valuation, Mike?
You know what? Nobody knows, but I will tell you this. He had a right of first refusal, and, you know, I don't know if the Jeannie Buss and her sibling said, we're going to go to market. You have first choice. And he said, what do I have to offer to get this team? And she threw out a number, and he said, okay. But remember, it is an impressive number. And, you know, you and I always like to talk valuations, right? So this comes out to like 18 or 19 times revenue,
yeah,
which is an insane multiple of revenue. But he's not buying the whole thing, right? He already owns 26-27%, and she's going to maintain, after the deal, another 15 or 18%. So in terms of, like, his cash payment,
yeah, right,
it's
of course,
not like he's laying out $10 billion,
yeah,
you know? And also, I have to tell you, you know, I got to be honest, right? When he bought the Dodgers, I was one of those, you know, I said, $2 billion for the Dodgers. I said, that's crazy. You know, I was one of those, you know, but looking back at it all these years later, they're obviously worth way more than that right now. And he also has a unique advantage, we have to say. So, you know, to your point, why say $10 billion? You know, why do that? Well, if he can do that and cut off competition, he has great access to capital. He has ties with Guggenheim, which he used to help him get the Dodgers, financing that was a lot of hedge fund money, insurance money. And now he's recently started a new financial vehicle called TWG Global, which has also raised a lot of capital that's being put into sports. So he's very good at, and I want to be clear, I'm not saying there's anything nefarious or wrong with this, but he's very good at raising other people's money and using that to get his interest in sports teams. It's very smart.
I have a couple of questions related to two of the groups on your list, and I'll just let everybody know. Kroenke's number one, the Jones family, Jerry Jones is number two, and then Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, that's Josh Harris, the managing partner of a 20-plus limited partner group that owns our football team along with his partner David Blitzer. They're third on the list, and Monumental Sports and Entertainment, Ted Leonsis being the founder, owner, chairman, and manager, partner, is 19th on this list. I've suggested recently, and I just want to know if you think I'm completely off my rocker. So Washington's in a contract negotiation with their star wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, and it will be the first major contract in terms of cash outlay that they've done since acquiring the team. You know, a lot of one-year deals last year. The biggest deal so far in free agency this year was, you know, basically $30 million guaranteed over 3 years. This is going to be a $60, $70, $80 million guaranteed deal. And I've suggested recently, they paid $6 billion for the team less than 2 years ago, which they needed 20-plus limiteds to get done. They've put in approximately $100 million into the existing stadium just to bring it up to code so people don't, you know, get water dumped on them or have railings fall down. And they're about to, we think, end up being on the hook for $2.7 billion in what will be the new stadium on the RFK site in D.C. Hopefully that gets done here shortly. And I suggested that the McLaurin conversation, and by the way, they're going to have to pay Jaden Daniels an all-time contract in 2 years. It'll be the largest contract ever done in the history of the league, more likely than not, if he stays healthy, that they could be, as it relates to this football team on a P&L basis, cash-strapped. Is that nuts?
I would suspect that given that you do have the cap, that cash-strapped would be probably, you know, I think, not that severe. I don't think so, because I think that, look, they're going to be getting more money every year from the national TV deal.
Yep.
I think that's going to help them. I think one of the questions will be also is, you mentioned the new stadium. Like, they finally got the arena situation squared away with the Sixers, right? So they're just basically going to get a much better lease.
Right. So, he walked away from the downtown thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And to be fair, Ted Leonsis went through the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, the politics, and I'm not taking sides, like, of you know, should private money, should it be all be private money, or what if any should be the public contribution? All that aside, the politics down there for new stadiums is really tough, either way you look at it. So I think that one thing that's possible, and I'm saying this is my idea, I just want to make it clear that I didn't speak to them, but you could also have a situation where you bring in new investors for the state football stadium. So, you know, the A's in baseball, the Athletics, have done that with their new stadium that's going to be built
right
in Las Vegas. So there are ways to sort of separate the various assets from a legal standpoint. So, for example, you could set up something called New Stadium Co., and that could be something where there are individuals, perhaps, that are not owners of the Washington Commanders football franchise,
sure,
that are investors in the new stadium.
Right.
You know, I just think I agree with you on one thing. I mean, if the main point is this isn't going to be easy, yeah, it isn't. And if you talk about guaranteed contracts, as you know, the amount that you're not paying out in the current year, the future years, you have to put in escrow.
Exactly.
So you've right. got to put money there, which is going to make it tough. But the other thing is, he knew going in that he was going to need this new stadium. You know, I mean, in the back of his mind, the calculus was, okay, I'm paying $6 billion for the football team. I'm going to have to pump money into the current stadium to make it viable, and also a lot of money, private money, into a new stadium down the road. So I think all that was part of the calculus. And like I said, when you're in this world of private equity, like these guys are, they know how to raise money. The NFL does also allow, even though they have a $800 million or $850 million debt limit on the team,
right,
they do allow exceptions for stadiums. So there's also ways to borrow money,
right,
and to be able to put that on the stadium too. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think they'll come out of this fine. And most of all, and it hurts me to say this as a New York Giants fan for, you know, 60 years, he is doing, you know, the Washington football franchise is a huge fan base, and territorially is one of the larger ones in the NFL. So he's got a great franchise, you know, to build on, and a brand that, you know, is on the mend from that perspective. But no, you know, I get your point. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I know you got to run, but I got two more for you real quickly. Number one is this. What's the, of the four major professional sports, which sport generates the highest margins?
You know, football, the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL are all about 20% or so on an EBITDA margin.
Yep.
Baseball's much lower, and you know, the reason for that, obviously, is that, you know, baseball has no cap. They have the luxury tax. Hockey has the hardest cap, the NHL. And then I would say following them is the NFL, then the NBA, and then baseball. The weird thing about baseball, though, is although I think their margin's about 15% or 12 or something like that, you know, it's because of the no cap, it's really skewed. So you have teams, sure, like, you know, the Mets, like, lost $300 million or something.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have some of the lowest revenue teams that, because of revenue sharing and you know, the formula they use and the fact that, like, the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox got to write these big checks to, like, Tampa and, you know, Kansas City and those teams actually will make money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of screwy.
Well, you probably just answered my last question, which is, you know, we're going through, you know, a rough stretch for our baseball team here, owned by the Lerners, and they had it for sale, you know, a year ago. They wanted $2 billion plus, you know, and you see the Lakers valued, and I understand that Mark Walter's not buying $10 billion worth of Lakers stock, but, you know, the Nats can't even sell, you know, they can't even sell a baseball franchise for $2 billion, and we've seen it. Artie Moreno pulled the sale of the Angels, you know, a year or two ago, and I guess you just answered the question. The no cap in baseball, does it depress valuations for teams?
I think it depends on the franchise.
True.
I think what happened with the Nationals, I think they asked too much. I mean, they were out there. The Lerners were told, and I was told this by people who knew the deal, that they could sell the team for at least $2.5 billion. So they came out asking way too much, especially at that time. The whole thing with Masson hadn't been settled.
Right.
So it was just too big a check to write for somebody to see. And there were interested people, but it was so frustrating at the time because the asking price was way too high. And then we saw the Orioles sell for like a little over $1.7 billion. So you can see that 2.6, you know, was way, way, way too high. The Angels with Artie was different. They definitely had people that were going to pay a high price for that team. I think it was well over $2 billion. But he himself, what happened with Artie was he was trying to get that new ballpark and trying to work something out with the city. And, you know, he wanted the city to throw in land, and he was going to build like one of these, you know, mixed use areas and all that. And he really, it really soured his stomach on terms of ownership because of the way he was portrayed in the press out there over that. And so he had a moment where he was fed up and he said, I'm out of here. And then at the last minute, after there were some people who had come, visited the ballpark, you know, even walked around the locker room and wanted to buy it. And then he was like, you know what, he really changed his mind. It wasn't a question with him that he couldn't sell it. He just had a change of heart.
Did Snyder?
That I know.
Did yeah. Snyder get a good deal?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
In the moment.
The circumstances. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I absolutely think he did.
Thanks for doing this, as always. Hope you're well. At Mike Ozanian, Ozanian on X on Twitter. Appreciate it. And the story is a good read if you're interested in this stuff. CNBC's most valuable sports empires in 2025. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Kevin. Always enjoy it, pal.
Mike Ozanian, everybody. Up next, Mike Rizzo has written his goodbye to the Nats fan base, and he's added a gift to go with it. More on that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's trending on this Friday, July 11th. Happy 7-Eleven to all. Like I said in the previous, it is free Slurpee Day. Make sure you get your free Slurpees today at 7-Eleven. Wimbledon, action going on right now. Men's semifinal just wrapped up. Spain's number two overall, Carlos Alcaraz, defeats the American Taylor Fritz in three sets to one. He will face the winner coming up against Jannik Sinner, who is taking on the legendary Serb Novak Djokovic. And the Home Run Derby participants have been finalized. Ronald Acuna Jr., Byron Buxton, Junior Caminero, O'Neill Cruz, Kyle Raleigh, Brent Rooker, James Wood, and Jazz Chisholm rounds out the field last night. The Home Run Derby will take place on Monday. The Mystics, they got the win last night over the Las Vegas Aces after erasing a 15-point deficit and battling down the stretch. The Mystics win 70-68. And the Wizards Summer League debut tonight at 9 p.m. They will take on the Phoenix Suns. The Nats, they wrap up their series in St. Louis. They fall to the Cardinals by a score of 8-1. A rough outing for Michael Soroka as he threw 91 pitches through just four innings. And the Nats kick off their series tonight against the Brewers. First pitch is at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? the hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So, put a note out to Nats fans titled A Heartfelt Thank You. He also included a gift in this note. He wrote, "It's been an incredible ride. The wins, the losses, the championships, the celebrations, and everything in between. It has been an honor to be the president and general manager of your Washington Nationals. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank each and every fan who has supported my goal to lead this franchise to greatness with integrity, honesty, and professionalism. In the process, it is my hope we've created memories for you and your family to cherish for a lifetime. DC has become our home in every sense of the word, and I could not imagine a better place to have done it all together than right here in the nation's capital. We will remain committed to the districts, to the district throughout, through the Rizzo Family Foundation, and continue to support children and families in our community who need it the most. As a way to say thank you to the fans for 19 amazing years with the Nationals, grab a round on Riz Monday, July 14th before the Home Run Derby at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern or Walter's Sports Bar. First round of beer is on us from 5 to 7. Cheers to an incredible ride." That's from the Riz Kids Family Foundation, and from Mike Rizzo. He's picking up your first beer this coming Monday night before the Home Run Derby at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern and Walter's Sports Bar. Walter's Sports Bar is down in Navy Yard, and Penn Quarter Sports Tavern's right there in Penn Quarter. That's very nice. Very nice. I look, I personally think Mike Rizzo did a good enough job, and with that trade of Juan Soto producing what it's produced, including two All-Stars and should have been a third, and with the draft upcoming, I would have preferred Mike Rizzo stay on as general manager. I'm sure that there are reasons for not wanting him, and I respect those of you who have those reasons, like the draft failures from essentially 2012 through 2021 in particular. I really like Mike, and I think one of the things he said in that note, when he said, in the process, it's my hope we've created memories for you and your family to cherish for a lifetime. I think that's true. This is a city that had no memories, no tradition, no pain that we suffered through, no exhilaration that we had suffered through like every other baseball town. And going back to 2012 and blowing that, you know, big lead in game five, God, that was painful, but it was set the groundwork of building, you know, memories, bad and good. Same thing, losing that National League Division Series in 2016 to the Dodgers in a game five at home. And then the next year, obviously, against the Cubs, losing game five again. There were a lot of pains along the way, not to mention, you know, the 18-inning, you know, game two against the Giants in that 3-1 series loss in 2014 before just an incredible run of memories in the 2019 postseason, rallying from 3-1 down to beat the Brewers in the wild card. Howie Kendrick's grand slam in Game 5 against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium to get him to the NLCS, sweeping the Cardinals, and then, you know, the World Series, winning the first two and then losing the next three at home, only to have Steven Strasburg pitch one of the epic all-time clutch performances in DC sports history, what he did in Game 6 to even up that series and force a seventh and deciding game, which the Nats, of course, won with incredible memories in that game as well. There's an eight-year run, man, that matches almost anything any of the other pro sports teams, major pro sports teams in our city have done. 8 years, playoffs five times, and a world championship. Only the Gibbs run tops that from 82 through 91. That's it. Anyway, wish Mike and his family the best. And again, he's picking up a beer Monday night. Class act at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern and Walters Sports Bar. All right, when we come back, who on our football team heading into 2025 has the most to prove? It can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be somebody in the front office. Who's got the most to prove heading into 2025? I'm going to give you my answer and my runner-up when we come back. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open for this. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.